52 degrees here on 1010 WLB. And let me see here. On Sunday, September the 22nd, they put out a year in, and that's City Evaluate Progress. 12 months into the job, and the police chief is struggling to curb violence. Well, Mr. Police Commissioner, good morning, first of all.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me back, and thank you for that introduction. That wasn't bad coming from a Yankee fan.
Well, both of us, we all tied at third, didn't we? Same number of games, all that kind of thing. Be that as it may. So, 1 year.
Yes, sir. Doesn't feel like a year went
really?
By so quick.
Ooh. Think about it. I guess you could say that, yeah. I mean, if you were to give yourself an evaluation as a layman on the outside, I would say a B. What would you say?
Well, I don't rate myself because I'm kind of biased. We put in a lot of hard work into the organization, and we've done a lot of things that are not the sexy stuff that you see on the front end. We had to take an organization that was very inefficient, an organization that hasn't been seen as a team, that had a lot of cliques and silos in it, and make it more efficient than what it was and kind of build a plan. So I had to say this first year was building a foundation. Most people on the outside can't see what we're doing. But if we were to look internally, we've done a lot and have accomplished a lot.
And one of the things, though, that as I sense and I talk with folks as I get out through the community, there is a sense of your cred is still strong. So I mean, I got to say, from what I gather, you have the ability to talk with this industry. Okay, and that goes a long way.
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time out on the streets. I get out of the office, and one of my red badges of courage, I guess you would say that's all a way of saying it, is that people say, I haven't seen a commissioner out here. I haven't seen a commissioner in these areas. And that's where I kind of build that credibility. I go where other commissioners haven't gone. I spend a lot of time talking to people. I spend time sitting on porches, or what I know as porches, what we call here stoops, and just sitting down talking to people and finding out what's going on. And we talk about people not snitching, and that's a bad way to put it, but there's a lot of good people in Baltimore who just want help, and they will talk to you and tell you what's going on as long as you respect them. And that's what I'm trying to personify for my police officers. That's how I want to do policing in the city as we drive crime.
Obviously, you probably get on your desk first thing in the morning what happened the night before. I look at the two killed in Baltimore, September now, second deadliest month in 2013. Information like this comes to you when you sit down with your command folks. Obviously, no, you, the mayor, any elected official, appointed person, you don't know where this crime, I mean, I never can understand why police get faulted for the crime that goes on. All your job is to make sure you can to put something in place so it doesn't get as high as it does, but you can't call the spots where it's going on.
Well, you know, what we can do is get in front of some of the issues that are going on. And part of what I've been banged into my head here, which is kind of clear, is the only thing that we really focus on in Baltimore are the homicides and shootings. That's been banged in my head by the media this entire 12 months. And our homicide rate for the year is actually up 6%. We're making good strides. The last couple of months, actually, the level of violence has dropped. But what people also kind of miss that we don't get a chance to echo is people being raped, burglarized, broken into their homes. Our rape numbers are down 14% over last year. Our robberies breaking into people's house, people being robbed on the street is down 6%. Robberies or carjackings, people breaking into your car and stealing your car while you're driving is down 31%. Robbing 7-Eleven or the local markets down 8%. Aggravated assaults, people being beaten down 11%. Burglaries, having your houses broken into, down 11%. Your car's been broken down, is down 13%. So total violent crime for the city is down 6%. Total property crime, people breaking in, is down 3%. And total Part 1 crime, which is all those categories that I talked about cumulatively put together, is down 12%. So actually, crime in the city of Baltimore is down. But the only thing that we focus on is down all year, and it's been down all year in the last 2 years. But the only thing we really focus on is a homicide rate. But when we talk about homicides, and I give you a chance to jump here in a second, who's doing the violence? And for those people who are victims of shootings in our city, 83.7% of them have records, have been arrested. 74% of them have been arrested for drug violations. Of those who are shooting other people, 76% of them have records been involved, been arrested before. And then 71.8% of them have been in drug arrests before. So what you see is those in gangs, groups, or crews are shooting each other. It's people in the drug game shooting each other back and forth. And unfortunately, at Shock Trauma, they give stats that we've had multiple people shot four or five times over and over again. They patch them up, they go back on the street, they get back in the gang, and they're shooting each other back and forth.
Let me jump in.
I had no idea, and you're so right, Commissioner. You gave us about six or seven categories where the percentage is in favor of what has been done due to good policing. But you never get told. I mean, all of that.
Yes.
As you went through it, not. I mean, if I don't know how we get it told, because it's one-sided.
Well, part of what I have to do is come on your show,
not
and
this.
I have to come to the other shows and have that conversation. It's very hard for me to get my message through some of our mainstream media outlets here within the city to share with people that we're going in the right direction and that we need to be positive. It's clear to me. The homicide impact is where we need to focus. Our shootings, we need to focus. But there's a lot to celebrate within the city that our stats are down. Total crime in the city has been down all year. We've been struggling with that homicide rate, and I want to talk about what I've put in place throughout this year to combat that, so we'll see as we end this year and go into next year that we have a strong ending, that we start dropping crime in the city overall.
JJ, make sure that our news editor captures what the commissioner just said about those areas in which is good policing has proven itself to give us some percentages that are looking good in the sense of good policing. Coach?
Let me jump in here, Larry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Commissioner Batch.
Hi, Coach
McAdams
doing?
Here.
Yes,
I'm
Coach, good to
hear fantastic.
You.
I'm fantastic.
How's the Redskins doing?
Oh, man. Well, we got one, so you know, we don't have to say knock, knock, who's there, 0-4.
I heard you guys beat that team from Oakland.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, I'm not a stat guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a stat guy
right.
Because I think that, you know, you can do whatever you want with stats, positive or negative.
Sure.
I think for me, the proof is do the citizens in these particular neighborhoods feel safe
exactly.
or safer?
Yes,
I think that's the true evaluation. So, you know, I disregard those stats, me personally. Secondly, I have said this: Baltimore has gone through a period over the summer of unprecedented violence in terms of a span of what, maybe 15 people being shot or at and a 3 or 4 day period, something similar to that. First question, was there an adjustment period for you coming from one area, which may be a little different, to Baltimore City, which may be totally unique within itself? And secondly, what is your response? We've heard from the mayor on this show, but what is your response, if you can give one, to what the governor has said and in terms of his old policy versus what you all are doing now? So that's a two-part question.
Actually, that's a three-part question that you threw in here, Coach. The first thing, you talked about stats. I agree with stats, but stats give you a baseline in which to measure empirical data. We don't play with the numbers. I'm clear about not playing with numbers and being honest and transparent that is out there. But I think your bottom line point is right, is does the community, the people that live in those neighborhoods, feel safer? And do they think that the police department that's doing the job is a legitimate organization? Or do does the community have a visceral hatred for the police organization in certain communities? And I agree with all those pieces, and those are the things that we're working on. Coming from outside, you know, when I walked into Baltimore, I've been doing this job for pretty close to 32, 33 years. And when I landed, all those gangs, groups, crews that I've been chasing for the last 32 years on the other coast, all here. Watts Crips, those are from Southern California. Black Guerrilla Family, Those are from the prisons out of Southern California, Treetop, Paru, and I won't go through all these names of the gangs, groups, and crews that we have in Baltimore. But these are all pieces that I've been chasing for a very long time. Now, what I've put in place to address that, and there was a time of change just for me to get the organization online, for them to get used to my way of doing business and my style of doing business, and I think they're clicking in, and to put people who believe in my vision in place in leadership roles. Now, I've moved very quickly to build intelligence-based mechanisms to track our gangs and our gang violence. And the reason I say that, Coach, is that, as you mentioned, this summer wasn't just random violence. That just didn't happen. We just didn't have good people being shot on the streets in the city of Baltimore all over. We have some very localized parts of our city that have this violence. And a number of our shootings came out. For instance, we had a club here that a conflict took place within one of our nightclubs. Unfortunately, it had to be one of our African-American clubs. That conflict then went to an after-hours restaurant, where that became even greater. The conflict grew out of those two conflicts, one at the club, the one that then went to the restaurant. It ended up in pretty close to about 15 different shootings and injuries to people. So this wasn't random shooting. This was that conflict. And as I was reading off to Mr. Young here, some of the violence and the stats of who's doing the violence, it's gang member on gang member, crew on crew. And they're usually in the western part of our city and in the eastern part of our city. So that's localized. And as I go through in the show, I'm going to tell you some of the other things that I put in place to move faster, quicker than what we're doing as an agency today.
Commissioner, one
last part of the question. Your response to this controversy, and we've discussed it on a number of occasions on this show, in terms of the governor implying or suggesting that we need to go back to what he was doing versus what you're doing now. We've heard from the mayor. Now we want to hear from you.
Well, I'm not going to get into that discussion. That's higher than me on the food chain and my place on the food chain.
I had to ask it.
No, I get you. I'm not getting into that. And at my stage in my career, I get to pick the people who I want to work for, and that's a good thing. And I picked a lady who's very strong and very much cares about the city of Baltimore. That was one of the things that brought me to the city. I feel her strength. The governor has had a passion for the city. He has a passion for the state. But one of the things that brought me here and that I focus on is going after people who are actually doing the crime. And that's why I was telling you about focusing on the gangs, the groups, and the crews that are actually doing the crime. Mm-hmm. I think we should lock them up, and we're moving very quickly to lock them up. People who are taking human life, people who are scaring our communities, we need to remove them and extract them from the communities, but we're going to address that pretty quickly. Being a kid who grew up in South Central L.A., very impoverished, I wasn't doing crime, and I didn't want my life impacted. And not everyone in some of these areas are all doing crime. So we need to focus on those people who are doing the crime, remove them from our communities to make sure that our communities are safe.
Well, based on the conversations, Commissioner, that we've had, it's very clear to us that though you won't comment, we'll say that we looked at his strategy, talking about the governor, as a failed strategy, and the one in which you and the mayor have in place is where the citizens of Baltimore ought to stay and stay focused as you are and get done what you can as quickly as you can. I was also going to ask you about this gang situation, and it's one of the most visible shifts that's been made because of your commissionership to the forefront of discussing about crime, and where it's been said that some of your predecessors at times was accused of playing down gang activity. You've made it a focal point. And from the barbershop talk or talk about people are saying this guy's willing to take on the gangs. And Absolutely. That plays in favor when you hear that.
Well, you know, I'm really pushing the organization. When I walked in, I kind of shook up the tree because I started talking about Black Guerrilla Family that permeates our city in many places, especially in our housing complexes as they try to take over. But they're at the root of the violence that's taking place in the city. And what I was told is that we don't have gangs in Baltimore. And for me, I'm going to be open, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be transparent. You can't deal with the problem unless you start having an honest conversation about it. And part of what I'm putting in place, I was talking about building the gang intelligence. We're also putting together or have put together a program for short-term covert investigations with our federal partners. So those people who are running the gangs, we're going to take them out, and we already started. We're building a 24-hour crime report. So when something happens in 24 hours, we have that data. We bring it online. I'm building a morning call that comes in every morning that has all my district commanders come up online so we can respond to the crime that took place in the last 24 hours. And the reason why that's so critical is that our criminals out here on the street, our gang leaders, this is a business for them. They get up every day and they go to work to do criminality. And so they adjust and they move to everything that we do very quickly. This organization has to move very quickly at the same time. We're also going to build a real-time fusion center, that I'll call it, that 24 hours a day, we're monitoring what's happening into the city so we can get around them faster, quicker, and start addressing those who are really doing the crime in our city. So we don't have to go out and arrest a bunch of people. We arrest those people who are critical to making those decisions and kind of curtail what they're doing.
Commissioner, during the time when I was in the legislature, I found the police community relations councils to be a good bellwether of what was being thought of in the community. I want to know, how do you associate yourself with those councils, and is there strong feedback between yourself and them in the districts?
Yes, sir. Beyond just the council, I meet with them every other month, and I sit down with them so they have access to me. But not just those council. I have to have access to all the community. People who are not involved in the council, they need to have my ear. So that's why I'm out on the streets. Hopefully people see me out there in all parts of the city at all times. Just this past, usually on Fridays or Saturdays, you know, I go into the job at 9 a.m. in the morning I start, and I'm leaving out the office with my guys at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning. So I'm all over the city. I'm in the office doing what I need to do in the daytime. Nighttime, I'm out on the street making sure my officers are doing, because they need to see me out there, too, at the same time. But the point is, I also have advisory groups. I have an African-American advisory group. I have a gay and lesbian advisory group. I have a ministerial advisory group, and on and on and on. I have about six or seven of them. So not just community council, but some of our specialized communities that need to have a voice to me to say, Commissioner, this is an issue. This you need to redirect. Are those things that have access to me.
The coordinating council that meets, once a month or so?
Every other month.
Every other month.
Uh-huh.
The relationship seems to be pretty strong. We used to get little tidbits. We don't get those tidbits anymore. So apparently there must be some good rapport between you and your fellow folks that sit in there. What exactly is their charge?
Part of what they're there to do is bring the community and the police department together to formulate communication that is open. And I share with them that we're going to start dealing with policies within the organization. If there's something that we're doing, whether it's use of force, whether it's how we serve the community, that they have access to it. And the same thing with my advisory groups, whether it be the African-American, the gay and lesbian was the first advisory group that I brought online. And the human cry was there that the police department does not pay attention to the gay and lesbian community, where you have hate crimes that are going on. And these things where the African-American, gay and lesbian, my Hispanic advisory groups, we're paying attention to all parts of this community. Everybody has a voice.
Very well. Coach, before I go to the lines, you have another thought, just quickly.
You know, Commissioner, quite frankly, from my perspective, you seem like a very gregarious and sincere individual. I've said that throughout. But has this trickled down to your troops? One of the main issues that we've heard before you in the previous administrations were that we love the police here, but sometimes they can't distinguish between the bad guys and the law-abiding citizens.